Hey, everybody, we are back. Visit Julian podcast. We have had a little bit of a break because it's been busy around here. So I'm happy to welcome Joe Raffetto from California Overland to talk about all the exciting stuff that he offers. And if you haven't done this, you need to check it out, check out his website, and we're going to talk about it right now. Joe, thanks for coming.
Thank you, Robin. Yes. It's so great to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited about the podcast. I say that on everyone, so I need to calm down. But
yeah, don't skip me.
Yeah, it's just there. I just love doing this, so it's working out really well.
That's great.
So, man, you've been around for a while. I remember, I think the first time I ever met you was before I was anybody. I was out at the at the Mangini Winery at some one of the merchant events. And right. I think that's the first time I met you, and that was probably at least 14 years ago, my thing, wow, my, those are my thoughts. Yeah, I was a child. Yeah, I was like in my 40s. What? That's funny.
Are you dating yourself?
I know, right?
No, I've been around. It's like this is the 17th year.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have a very exciting website. So I think people should take a look at it. Yeah, because it builds excitement about the things that you offer. Because you could do public tours to private tours. I think before the interview we talked, there's so many different ways to see the desert. So let's talk in a broad sense of what you offer, and then we'll get down to the nitty gritty of the different things.
Well, you know, like Anza Borrego Desert is just like, you know, it's the second biggest state park in the lower 48. Mm-hmm. It's the biggest one in California. It's 640,000 acres, so it's as big as a lot of national parks, but it's even more diverse. Mm-hmm. So there's all different ways of taking advantage of this incredible location. So we try to make everything, like I like to say, like, you know, these are tours that are created by someone who hates tours. I really don't like tours. So I try to make these, that's why I really call them excursions. Mm-hmm. And it's basically going out and seeing all these different places in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. So
it's more of an adventure than a tour, for sure.
Yeah, and it's like, I think also I have like five wonderful guides, maybe six soon, and in training. And I think we're all of the same philosophy. Like when we go out with people, we're going out as, I think it comes across as we're just with friends. And, and it's like, you know, we're telling you a lot about the desert. It is educational, too. Mm-hmm. But it's not too much. It's not in the minutiae unless you want it to be.
And it's not like, on your left, you will see.
Exactly.
Like, because we just went to the zoo a couple of weeks ago, and you know, we were on the bus tour. Look to your left. Look to your right. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, exactly. And that's actually one reason why we don't even have PA systems in the big vehicles or any of the vehicles or even the van. Because first of all, we should be focusing on our driving.
Right.
And secondly, like, we don't, you know, don't want it to be too much like Knott's Berry Farm.
Sure, sure.
So on your left is a Cholla cactus. You know, like, we'll get out and talk about stuff as a part of hiking and just seeing things around the vehicle. And it's, you know, more real that way.
Right. So let's talk about the public tours then. You do those how often?
With demand, we throw them up on the schedule.
Okay.
And, you know, it says, you know, there's minimum on there. Uh-huh. Like, it's usually six. But, you know, depending on what's going on, we'll do it with a four. Uh-huh. And it's like a lot of times I love to see, like, everybody coming together. Everyone's very like-minded, no matter, you know, how old they are or, you know, if there's kids. So it is like this bonding that goes on, and I think, you know, it's great to see after a public tour, especially like this season. Like, I'm coming off very busy time too. It's kind of tapering down now after Easter, but
because the heat, right?
Yeah, because actually, you know, spring break's over.
Sure.
The what could have been a flower season, which thank God it wasn't. Because it
was like, who needs that?
Yeah, I was down a guy or two, and so like, I was glad, and I wasn't ready for the madness yet, but it was a great season. But so it's tapering off, yeah, and it does get hotter, but we go through the whole year.
You are year round.
Yes.
So let's then hope that this podcast and telling everybody about it is you're going to taper up, taper on.
Yeah, on. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Put that on the website.
Yeah. So private tours, what does that entail? Like, if I wanted to call you, if I called you and I wanted to book a private tour, do I get to tell you what I want to see and you work that? Or is it basically a package that, you know, that's already designed by you that you just take a specific private group on.
It's totally dependent on you. You know, mm-hmm. like it's we definitely have standard thing that we'd suggest. Mm-hmm. Like seeing the, if you've never been out in Anza Borrego before, seeing the Borrego Badlands and one of the overlooks and some of the things within or around that area, mm-hmm. depending on the length of the tour, we'll say, yeah, you could do this. Perhaps, you know, we'll go down and see this place called 17 Palms, which is a pretty palm grove in mm-hmm. nowhere, which is a great place to have lunch on our longer tours. Mm-hmm. And or a Slot Canyon that's not one where a lot of people go, and it's beautiful. It opens up, then it gets narrow, then it opens up, and mm-hmm. it's a great place to have lunch as well. So there's all different kinds of places there. But see, people will come, and sometimes people do have specific things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes even there's people that have been offered money by the Anza Borrego Foundation for their property that their grandfather bought back in the 30s. Oh. And they want to come take a look at it, and so it's a middle of nowhere, so we've done quite a few of those.
That's cool, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, because culture these days is less about honoring the past. So I think it's awesome to see someone who says, like you said, my great-grandfather, you know, gave this property. And to be interested in that kind of thing says a lot about the kind of people that come to your place. I think that's cool.
Yeah, it is neat. And a lot of people come, you know, because they want to see, maybe they want to see Indian pictographs, mm-hmm. you know, or Native American village sites or Western settlers shack or something. But mostly it's a lot of geology mm-hmm. and the botany around is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we get to see cool thing animal-wise. Like 4 times in a row, my favorite place is Sheep Canyon up in Collins Valley, that mm-hmm. whole area. And that area is the only spot in the park that has desert tortoise. So 4 times in a row, we got to see the desert tortoise.
Wow.
Out in springs.
That oh, that's cool. Yeah. How big are they?
Like a box turtle.
Yeah.
Size. You know, they get like...
Okay, like a shoebox.
So two big ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a shoebox.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Sure.
Yeah, since you did that, I had to make something so that people could recognize, about a shoebox. But I imagine they get larger, right?
Yeah, they get about a foot. That's what I was going to say. So they get about a foot big. But we saw two old ones that were about a foot long. And so,
that's cool. Yeah, that was cool. And I'm assuming you don't disturb them.
We just let them be. They're just kind of on their own. On their own route.
Right. They've got somewhere to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not very fast.
They're getting there. Yeah. Yeah. Leave them alone. They'll get there. What if, and this is just me like thinking about, you know, if I were to think about wanting to do it, it's kind of like whale watching, but the opposite. Is there somewhere more likely that you're going to see ram than other places? Can you take someone somewhere to see ram? Obviously you can't guarantee a ram, but.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's funny because the places that you could see, I've been going up to their namesake place, Sheep Canyon, Bighorn Sheep.
And you saw tortoise.
Yeah. And I've been going up there since the 80s, and mm-hmm. I've never seen one up there.
Oh. Yeah.
But, and I've seen them in, you know, other canyons mm-hmm. where you can hike yourself. Mm-hmm. Like Palm Canyon is a place where everybody goes. And if you hike up Palm Canyon on your own, you know, not to take business away from me, but if you hike up there.
Well, you can give them a ride.
Yeah, sure. Or 15-minute tour. So I would take, you know, tell you about that. And in the warmer weather, if you bring enough water, I mean, they're hanging around more down by the water there. Mm-hmm. But and they've been hanging around the golf course. I mean, they don't seem to be too intimidated by people.
Oh.
So I don't know. But we don't see them because that much. Sometimes we have, like in a place called Split Mountain. We saw them down in the wash twice, and then they jumped up onto the rocks and headed up. But usually we don't see that.
Oh, all right. Well,
because it's more in the open area of the desert. But there's other things like bobcats or, you know, coyotes and things like that.
Yeah. I'm a coyote fanatic. Yeah. I love coyotes. And people look at me and crinkle their forehead like they don't understand why why I love coyotes. But and I lost 2 dogs to coyotes. And I still love them because it's not the coyote's fault. Yeah. It was my fault that my dog got out, you know? So
that's what they do. It's like kind of like humans.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, we're screwing things up. Yeah, that's just what we do.
I don't know what it is. And I love seeing a healthy coyote. It's you know the difference between, you know, that poor guy that just looks like he hasn't eaten in 2 weeks. And then the ones that are just so healthy, they're fantastic looking. Yeah. So you sold me on the coyote. What other animals are out there?
You can see kit foxes, usually in the early evening, sometime around there. A lot of like little things like antelope ground squirrels and various lizards and snakes, if you're lucky or unlucky.
Right?
We don't see them because we're not really poking around.
Sure.
We do see them, but not that much because they're not looking. And when you do see them, a lot of times it's some of the really interesting non-venomous ones, like shovel-nosed snakes look like a coral snake, kind of. They're really cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me ask you some specific questions, because as you were talking there, I know you have a lot of different vehicles. So actually, let's talk about that first. Sure. What kind of vehicles can people expect to excursion in?
Excur away. Yeah. Actually, you know, it's quite a range. So on the... I hesitate to say more timid range, but there's the Renegade, which is has air conditioning and a smooth ride.
Okay, you're talking my language now, right? Okay,
exactly. Right, and it's easy to get in and out of. There's the CJ7, which is like, you know, you have to climb in the back like getting on a horse, and but it's a really more it's like a safari seat back there, and it's kind of cool, you know, because it's really unbelievably capable and totally open air, so it's really cool that way. There's a small military vehicle called an M715, which I didn't know what that was until I got it. But if you want a clue, go see Splash with Daryl Hannah, because they have a whole bunch of them at the end.
Oh, that's funny. I saw that movie, but like 100 years ago.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think it aged well. So you
right. Poor Tom Hanks.
Right. But, and then, let's see. Then we got the excursion van, which is, a gentle ride. It's lifted, it can go anywhere, so, and that's, with private groups. I mean, it is for 11 passengers, so we're trying not to cram people in there just because of COVID.
Right.
But we'll see.
Right.
And then...
is that open air too, though?
That's air conditioned.
Okay.
So you got the two air conditioned vehicles, which are relatively newer to the fleet, so you can do that. And then there's, our two big vehicles, they're officially called M35A2.
They sound like guns.
Yeah, I know.
I don't like it. It sounds like a gun.
No ornaments, though. We've domesticized them.
All right, good.
So,
And people can see, I think, pretty much all these vehicles you're talking about on your website, right?
Definitely, Rob. Okay. Yeah. And the big vehicles, you know, they have like school bus type seats facing forward and carpeting, and they're a little bit more comfort driven than the troops got.
Sure.
And one is fitted with, we're going to see how this goes, with a hydrogen generator to see, supposedly cuts emissions like 80 something percent.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It should be pretty exciting once we get that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Hopefully.
So I hate to admit it, because it's been literally probably 10 years at least that I have been dreaming about this camping trip thing that you do. And I keep saying someday, that's and then I'll, you just bury me out there or something and be like, okay, she made it. She's dead, but she made it. But, so maybe let's talk about that. And then I'm going to go watch. I'm going to put my fists down and say, I'm booking one. So can we talk a little bit about what that's like? Because it's something that's bugging at me for so long to do.
Oh, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah, camping, always wanted to do from the very beginning, incorporated, and not a lot of outfitters that with desert tours do it, I don't think. It is a lot of work, but it's really great. Mm-hmm. It's usually one night, and there's an excursion first into the Badlands, like 2 hours plus, and then we head out.
2 hours plus of driving?
No, of exploring the Badlands and stuff. But you're out there for like two hours roughly, and then you head across Clark Dry Lake, this big dry lake. Mm-hmm. And the access from that point, from the edge of the dry lake out to the Clark Homestead site actually is for authorized vehicles only. Mm-hmm. So because of our concession contract, we're the concessionaire, the only concessionaire now with Anza-Borrego Desert State Park.
Great.
Yeah, so our contract allows us to go out there, so it's just us and the rangers. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful, peaceful place. These trees they planted back at the turn of the 20th century and the remains of their cabin and well, but it's very peaceful and it's at the foot of the Santa Rosa Mountains and it's great. So when you roll in there, we've got a little military trailer that's been converted into a chuck wagon, and you'll have we have tables set up with tablecloths and tiki torches, and then you get a tour of the place, get to roam around. It's beautiful late in the afternoon, with the sun is just amazing against the Santa Rosas. Mm-hmm. And then we'll start off with appetizers, and then while the dinner is being cooked, which is tri-tip salmon or chicken cooked on the open fire, and wine with the meal, and s'mores, not just for the kids, I've noticed.
Oh, no, are you kidding? I'll fight a kid for a s'more.
Roasting to the ground.
That's funny. There's one marshmallow left. Get out of my way, kid. That's funny. And I would
get ugly.
Right? I imagine that's the best time to see that is August, maybe, because of this all the stuff that's going on in the sky.
If you could take the heat, because what we do is most of these, we have an astronomer.
Right.
It was Scott Baker, our Julian Zone.
Right,
moved out to Arizona on us.
Yeah.
So I'm back, Dennis Mamana and I are doing it, and he's gotten pretty busy with his own thing.
Yeah, I've actually experienced the star party with him, and he's fantastic.
He's awesome and a good friend, too.
So. Oh, good.
So he's out there, and the telescope will be set up, and then after dinner, it's very loose, you know, it's like you wander out to the telescope, see what's going on, and some people, Dennis will stay up all night showing you.
Talking about the stars,
New stuff is coming up over the mountains all the time. And then we may do like a scorpion hunt, which is really cool in the warmer weather, and you go take a look with a black light, and they're just very mellow. They just kind of hang, but it's really cool to get a picture with with your smartphone.
Because they kind of glow, right?
They glow, yeah. It's like, they and centipedes are only things that light up, you know, and there's no centipedes out there, but just, you know, these guys. And they're really cool to take photos of.
Yeah.
And there's quite a bit. And then you can retire to your tent or hang out and talk around the campfire. Mm-hmm. And we had to tell ghost stories or just funny stories.
Fight over s'mores.
Yeah. And a full hot breakfast in the morning.
Oh, cool. Yeah, on the chuck wagon then.
On the chuck wagon.
Yeah. How many people usually will go on the camping trips like that?
Usually, private ones, like we did a couple of private ones over the busy thing. So one group was seven, and then there was just a couple who were really wonderful.
Just a couple? The two of them?
Just two people,
wow.
Yeah, it's really amazing. But usually, with a public tour, we need six people, and then we cap it off at 17.
Mm. Oh, wow. So anywhere from 6 to 17. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I don't know why that thing's been on my bucket list, and what I mean is why it stays on my bucket list, and I don't just do it.
It's a really unique experience, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool, to see everybody bonding and having fun and families doing things together.
Yeah.
And you get, young teens that have have to be pried away from their phones and it's dragged. But then I've seen it's so great 45 minutes later. They're just so into it.
Oh, good.
And think their parents are cool for having
done it. Right. Yeah. Is there cell service out there?
No.
Good. Yeah, that's the thing.
You may get a straight text out there.
Right.
Like,
but you can't reply to it, so just put your phone
away. That's right.
Yeah,
put the phone away.
Yeah.
We have, like, satellite phone, and we have a VHF radio for communication.
Yeah, for you guys. Yeah, but when you're talking about the kids and the family. And
you get weaned off your phone.
Yeah, because I'm a phone addict, too, uh-huh. And I'm not proud of it. And I've recently gone down the rabbit hole of Reels and TikTok, where Mark will be sitting next to me, and I'm just watching my phone, and I'm laughing, and he's just sitting over there like, what are you doing? And it's like, so, yeah, it's definitely... I'm glad there's no cell service.
Oh yeah, you can like get addicted to just looking at various things, you know.
So there's other great stuff that you do that's kind of expanded on, not just like, you know, the go out and have, you know, great exploration and create memories, mm-hmm. which we want to absolutely talk about, the obvious of the memories that get created, which mm-hmm. kind of goes off the thing of no cell phones, we get memories. So you can still take pictures, but yeah, so that's really cool that it's just an opportunity to bond with your family or your friends. Or
take your own videos to put on when you get back.
Right, yeah, you can TikTok it up.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's not like you're abandoning all that.
Right, like, yeah. You're collecting data.
Yes.
That's what you're doing. So in addition, you do film transportation and like location scouting, things like that. Yeah, so tell us about that. That's kind of exciting.
It is. It's really fun. It's you know, it can be very stressful because you've got to, you know, you're dealing with film crews and, you know, there's time limits. Everything's like got to be done, boom, 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 like this and stuff when you're actually shooting. But it's like really dynamic because we've done quite a few. In fact, I've lost track now over the years, but there's everything from, you know, you're doing location scouting where location manager or director will say, you know, we're looking for these particular locations. Mm-hmm. We're looking for something that looks like an alien planet.
Mm-hmm. Star Trek, you know.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
A Western theme or to replace the Middle East or something. Mm-hmm. And so we take, we'll show them certain areas and then they'll even have in their mind a place that they want to use and then like go show them places and they're like, wow, this is really incredible. Mm-hmm. Because Anza Borrego is so great that way. I mean, there's just...
Like you said, it's so diverse.
As far as desert terrain, I think it's almost every terrain you could think of. Mm-hmm. Except for miles of rolling dunes, but...
Yeah. Who needs that?
There are some dunes too. Yeah. So, probably a few more years will be more.
Right.
But even unusual things like the wind caves, which looks like an Anastasi village, but it's a natural thing. Mm-hmm. That's on one of our public tours. So it's cool. So you'll take people out. You'll take these guys out to show them places. And then a lot of times they'll have us do the transportation services, which is to take crew and gear out to remote areas where they're shooting. So that a lot of times, so we have like two trailers that will go behind the big vehicles and you can, again, they can get 16 of their crew in the back of one of the vehicles.
Yeah, and, that makes sense. Yeah. It's all those things you don't think about unless you think about it, the behind the scenes stuff it takes to make a production, you know, getting the crew out, getting the equipment out.
Mm. Oh yeah. And it's really amazing because you're out there and you'll spend 2 days on something and maybe it's up on the final product like for, you know, 4 seconds.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. Yeah. So, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just, we did a few, it actually saved us in a lot of ways with COVID because when things reopened July of 2020, it's still, there weren't a lot of people coming out, but there were actually 6 production companies that we worked with.
So oh, great.
It was like, wow, just this flurry that happened, and it really was great.
It was meant to be.
Get us bridged through.
Yeah, because you needed to be around after. So it's nice that, you know, something carry you through. Yeah, the crazy times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But nothing stops Hollywood.
Yeah, right? The show must go on. Yeah. So, in the show notes, I just tell you that there'll be links to your website. Are you active on social media?
Yes.
Yeah. So
not so active. I hate Facebook, but I've got to really now. I've got stuff I hate vaping. But I really have to, I've gotten a bunch of stuff to put up. I was just talking to my social media person, mm-hmm. so we're going to refresh some things.
Good. Yeah, because mm-hmm. I'm finding too, now I'm just like social media lesson here, but I'm finding too a lot of interest and engagement on Instagram.
Yes.
So we'll put the links to that so people can start following you on that in the show notes. We'll take some basic information and put it in the show notes. All the contact information that people need to get a hold of you. A lot of people listen to this in their cars. So why don't you tell them so that those people who have great memories, what is your website address?
It's californiaoverland.com.
See, how hard is that? Not at all. So for you driving down the road, californiaoverland.com. All right, I'd like to wind up just because I know I'm not perfect, which is, this is the only time I admit that. If there's anything I didn't cover that you want to talk about, and that, like the last thing you want people to hear that, you know, for them to take away from this interview.
Yeah, I thanks, Robin. I guess the takeaway is that, you know, this really is... It's a unique thing, I think, in that you're able to do things together that will maybe give you you and or your kids or your other relatives or friends like a lifelong memory.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of fun in that,
mm-hmm.
and some education in that, mm-hmm. And just come out and check it out. It's an amazing place, the Anzabrego Desert.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that we get to be, you know, the
stewards and the chaperones, or there's a word that we don't want to say tour guide, but you know, you're the excursionaire.
Yes.
Joe Repetto, the excursionaire.
Don't say tour.
Right? Yeah. So awesome. Thank you for coming. It was really enjoyable.
Thanks, Robin. Likewise.
Yeah. All right. See you next time, folks.